Okay, well, wonderful to be with you all, everybody here and on Facebook and on conference call line. What a gift, huh? That last song. Oh my gosh, we have the greatest gift of all, that gift of Holy Spirit. Phenomenal, phenomenal. I am so grateful. And we just can't thank God enough, can we? Not at all. Well, last weekend was a power-packed weekend. We got into the Word on this subject that has been our theme, Fellowship is the Secret. And Reverend Bob Carden did a wonderful job sharing the Word along those lines. And it was fabulous. A major key that he shared in light of fellowshipping with God was living a holy life. Living a holy life. If you were here, you probably have that in your notes. Maybe you put a little asterisk by it, some stars, a little yellow marker, whatever you did, to highlight that truth. So, but how do you live a holy life? What is a holy life? What is holy all about? So we're going to take a look at that today and see what it is about. And we're going to dig a little deeper, perhaps, into this subject. If this will help us have fellowship with the Heavenly Father, then we want to put some heart into it, put our mind into it, see what God's Word says about living a holy life. So first, might be good to define the word holy, right? You know what life is all about, right? You're all breathing, I think. It looks like it. Nobody's asleep yet, so that's good. So what does holy mean? Holy cow, I don't know. In the Greek, the word holy is hagios, hagios in the Greek. You've heard the term pneuma hagion, okay? Spirit pneuma hagion is holy. It's a version of the Greek word hagios. Hagios is defined as, as where the subject is has reverence toward, sacred, venerated, hollow, and of awe. So that's kind of when you see the word holy. It's pretty special. If you're a holy person, that's pretty special. You're reverenced. You're sacred. You're venerated. It's pretty neat. The word saint, by the way, in the Bible, it uses this word hagios. So when you see the word saint, and we all are saints. It says so in the Bible. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you are a saint. Yeah, amen. So let's start digging here a little bit with this understanding how to live a holy life. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to have some of these verses on the screen. Not all of them, but this particular one, Ephesians 1, 4. We should have that for you on the screen. Okay, here we go. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. Now, he's chosen us before the foundation of the world. What's he going to do with this? That we should be what?
Holy.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is what God had in mind for each and every one of you, born again of God's Spirit, that you would be holy, that you would be sacred, you would be special. And when he looks at you, there's an awe that goes on in his heart. That you would be holy and without blame. No blame. I don't know about you, but if that's true for my life, I'm going to feel pretty good. I'm going to be able to handle this world and all the junk that goes on, knowing that God, in the beginning, saw me special, holy and without blame. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, let's take a look at Ephesians 1:18. We don't have this on the screen, but you'll have this on your phone, your Bible, whatever else you might have that communicates God's word. Ephesians 1:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Okay? God filled us with Holy Spirit. We got born again of God's Spirit. And so we have that access to the Father through the Spirit. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, holy ones, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together and groweth unto what kind of a temple in the Lord? A holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We have that habitation. God lives within us. And we are holy as a result of that. Pretty neat. Let's look at some more scriptures here. We have this on the screen, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:9. This has got to be one of my favorite verses. There's so much in this verse. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." You know, I could never come up with any kind of works that would justify me being a son of God, that I would be holy before the Heavenly Father. I couldn't do it. And I don't think any of you could do it either. But God didn't require us to do that. He did it for us through Christ. He saved us. He called us with this holy calling, a special calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Boy, God just had this thing figured out before time even started. He was pretty excited about this time, whereby born-again believers would be in existence on the world. You know, it took a while, took several thousands of years before this reality became a fact, right? That he would have his children that he dreamed about before time began. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, God has given us so much, right? By grace you're saved, not by works, lest any man should boast. And we have it all through the finished work of Jesus Christ, don't we? We've got it all. We have been redeemed. We're justified. We have the righteousness of God. We're sons of God with power. We got it all. You know what a lot of people do when they have it full and rich and they've got it all? Well, in a worldly sense, from a financial picture, maybe so, but if you got it all, there's not much you can do. You know, what am I going to do that I've got it all? And I think this is an opportunity for believers to kind of think about that. Okay, so by the grace of God, I am what I am. So am I going to, I can't do any more to get any more. So how am I going to live my life? Well, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about so that we can feel the fellowship with our Heavenly Father, so that we can experience God in our life day in and day out. Fellowship with him. And it's all about living a holy life. And that's what we're digging into, okay? We're really digging in to see that. Amazing. We can live a holy life. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. He has reconciled us. He has done all the work. What a wonderful reality for us. So I think we have this on the screen. Very good. Thank you. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. I could associate with that. I was disappointed in myself. You know, I tried to be good and right, but I couldn't even come close to what God has done for me through Christ, that what I could be before Him. Okay. Yet now hath He reconciled. He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. There it is. There it is. So God sees us holy. He sees us unblameable. We are a blessed people. So what does it take for us to experience that? To have that in a real sense in our mind, in our heart, as we live day by day. You know, as a believer, we have the hope of Christ's return, another great aspect of our sonship rights. But what about day by day? What about this world is going nutso, right? And how do I fit in? What can I do? How can I experience God in my life day in and day out, that fellowship? Well, let's look at Colossians 3:12. I don't think I have this on the screen for you, but again, it's in the Bible. That's what counts. So Colossians 3:12. Here's what we can do. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. God voted you in, and you're a winner for Him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's, you know, patience, endurance. See, all of a sudden now, here we have things that we can associate with, that we can renew our mind to do. Put it on. Put it on. If we read the previous verses, it talks about putting stuff off. But we're putting on, because we are elect of God, these holy and beloved bowels of mercies. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, patience. See, this is how we act. And if we live with the renewed mind putting this on, look out. Our fellowship with God is going to be fantastic. All right, and it doesn't stop there. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Oh, I can't forgive Sally. Oh my gosh, what Sally did is unspeakable. No way. Way, as far as God's concerned, forgiving one another. If you have a trouble forgiving someone, think about what God did through Christ to forgive us, okay, in your life. Forgiving one another. You know, that's a big subject. We got into that during the weekend, didn't we? That really holds back believers from being delivered, physically, mentally, is this thing of forgiveness. I hope you caught on to it this weekend. Yeah, it's huge. And I know sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, and we know that the Word says God has forgiven us, and He remembers it no more. As far as the East is from the West, they don't meet. So let's don't remember it. If it's already been forgiven, forget about it. Forget about it, right? And move on. Put on these holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Let's don't bring it up anymore. It's done with. It's over. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ also do also to you. In other words, we forgive. so that we can live in harmony with great peace of heart. And above all these things, what are we going to put on? Charity, which is the love of God. The love of God. It was the love of God that called you before time began, right? To make you holy and blameless? Yes. So let's put that on. Let's occupy our mind with not the problems and the troubles, but with the victory we have in Christ and who we are. Because if we put this bond of this charity, this love of God on, it's the bond of what? Perfection, perfectness. You can't beat it. In 1 Peter, there's some wonderful exhortations for us to live a holy life. I don't think we have these on the screen as well, do we? No, I don't think so. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. You know what your loins are? It's like your waist, okay? Gird up the loins of your mind. And where else does it talk about your loins and your different body parts? Ephesians 6? Yeah. What's the loins? Do you remember what the loins? It talks about loins in there. What is the loins? What do you gird up with? Truth. With truth. Because if your loins are hurting, oh my gosh, you cannot stand straight for God. See, we gird up the loins of our mind. It's a great mind picture, isn't it? We gird up the loins of our mind. Be sober. Sober means have whole thoughts. Have good thoughts. Don't have negative thoughts. Have good thoughts. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, the hope. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You know, why would believers want to go back living the old way they used to live before they got born again? It's like a dog going back to, I didn't want to say it, but yes, vomit. Yuck. No, we got so much to live for. As we live a holy life for our Heavenly Father. So we don't fashion ourselves according to the former lust. Verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. That's King James. Manner of living probably is a better translation, and most of you probably have that. In your manner of living, let's be holy. Let's be respectful. Let's see each other as very special people, very sacred people. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. All right? So we are holy, and we want to live that way. God works lovingly in his children in such a wonderful way. So living a holy life is about renewing our mind. Renewing our mind to who we are in Christ and living it to its fullest. Romans 12:1. I think we have this one for you on the screen. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore. And when it says I beseech you, it's like I beg you. Come on now, therefore, brethren. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're not a dead one. That's been done. You're a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, right? Which is your logical, reasonable service. Isn't that logical to you? To live a holy life, to live this renewed mind life. It's the way to go. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That transformed is that metamorphosis that they talk about, the old caterpillar, ugly old wormy caterpillar. And what happens to him? He turns into a big, beautiful butterfly. That's metamorphosis. And that's the Greek word that's used here for being transformed. See yourselves as butterflies for the Lord. Okay? We're not worms. We are butterflies. Figurative, okay. But we renew our mind. We just change our thinking that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Yes. All right, a few more scriptures. We're going to finish off here in Romans 14. Should be convenient for you to find. Don't have this on the screen, but 14:10. Romans 14:10. It's just some other things in the Word that'll help us track mentally to live a holy life so that we can have our fellowship with Heavenly Father sweet all the time. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge your brother? Or why do thou sit at not thy brother? Set it not with your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be a time that we will sit in this judgment seat. And for the believer, it's the bema. It's a seat of rewards. Now, if you don't do a dad burn thing for God after you're born again, that's going to be a quickie for you. You'll just slide right by that bema seat. But if we do the work of the Lord, oh, can you imagine? You'll be there for hours just being unloaded by God with great rewards and things that He's going to bless you because you were faithful to live a holy life. Why not? This is talking about eternity. That's what counts. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Eventually, everybody's going to be doing it. We've already done it. Now we can live it. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. You know, the problems we have in this world, in our country, we judge. Everybody's judging everything. Let's just judge that we're born again believers, that our brothers and sisters are beautiful, they're holy, they're special. Let's do that kind of judging. Rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We don't want to hurt one another. If we've been wronged by someone, figure it out. Get with them, first one-on-one, and then forgive each other and move on. Don't get everybody and their mother involved, but one-on-one, get it taken care of. And if it needs to go a little further, then get a loving brother or sister involved. But we don't need to go spend much time doing this judging thing. Yeah. We got the love of God. We're very special people, aren't we? I mean, we are very special people. And God loves us so much. And He wants us to live a life that's full and rich. And as we renew our minds to who we are in Christ and live this renewed mind lifestyle, oh my gosh, we're just going to have a blast. It'll be so fun helping people, ministering to people, moving the Word, helping people get born again of God's Spirit. What a holy life that we have to live. So let's do that, okay? Let's live the holy life to the glory of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You that You love us so, so much, that You have done so, so much for us, that we could be Yours. and you could be ours. And I pray, Father, that we can really grab on to this living this holy life by changing our thoughts, our minds, our habits to incorporate these wonderful loving principles of loving one another, of being humble-minded, not judging, but forgiving, and doing the love of God with all our heart. So thank you for the privilege, Father. And we look forward to that day when we are before you at the Bema, and that we will be blessed with many more wonderful blessings from you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, that's it.